verses 37 through 48. What made Jesus weep? What made Jesus weep? We know that Christian life is a life of abundance, joy, but it just seems like there's not enough of joy. Maybe even when we come to church, there's not enough of joy. But we come to praise and to hail a victor, Jesus Christ, not to come to mourn a corpse. But we know that sin has its thrills, but sin does not have its joys very long, just for a season. In the background of these scriptures, in Luke chapter 19, Jesus Christ is ending up his earthly ministry. This is his last week before he goes to the cross. He's riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey. This is Palm Sunday, as we fixing to read these verses of scriptures. And there was a lot of people there was hailing him for all the great miracles that they have been with Jesus Christ and seen him do in these 3.5 years maybe of his ministry. And he's coming down to the end of his ministry. It goes right on time that we know that Jesus Christ riding in Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. And we find that when he looked down upon Jerusalem, and they was hailing him, praising him as we should be doing all the time, and they was cutting palm branches and they was laying down their coats for the donkey to walk in as he's fixing to go down to Jerusalem. As he's on that mountain looking down upon Jerusalem, the great sight it was, a beautiful, beautiful temple, probably the most beautiful temple that had ever been on the face of this earth, was at Jerusalem. This was the onlyest place that on the face of the earth that God met with mankind, was in the temple of the holies of holies. No other place on earth but this temple. As he looked down upon this temple, he began to weep. He began to cry. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how that I would gather you as a chicken would gather her little ones under her wings, but you would not. What made Jesus weep? Is these verses of scriptures that I'm fixing to read? Before I do, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 said there's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh and there's a time to weep. Christian life is a life of joy, but also it's a life in a time of tears. Life of brokenness. And as I spent as many hours as I could on these verses of scriptures, I pray these verses of scripture might touch your heart as it did mine. As we study this, the Lord allowed me to get into the pages of the history and walk with Jesus Christ and be there with him as he looked down upon Jerusalem and the time of his weeping. What made Jesus weep? Luke chapter 19, verse 37, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he said, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stone would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou had known, even thou, at least at this time, the day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and the children within thee and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. May God add a blessing upon the reading of this word this morning. What made Jesus Christ weep? You know, God knows that we have enough to weep about in our country, in the United States today, that we should be also weeping. As I told you, this background of these scriptures, it calls Jesus Christ to weep. We know that Jesus Christ wept, and we see in 41 it says Jesus wept. 42 it says, if you had known, talking to the disciples, talking for us today, if you had really known what day this is your day. He's talking to us today. This is not what God has said. This is what God is saying to you today. He said, if you had known, this is your day, and you didn't even know the time of your visitation. God gives a visitation to every mankind on the face of this earth. And this is yours today. You're here by appointment of God, the reason you're here today. And this is your day. Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, he was a man of abundant joy. Even it says the joy of the cross, when he went to the cross to suffer the great suffering, there was joy. Not the joy for what happened to him, but the joy of what we see here today. The joy that made it possible that we may have salvation through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It gave him joy to shed his blood for you today. And it seemed like to me he knew that he was going to die on that cross. And he knew that he was going to shed his precious blood. And he knew that he was going to the agony of the cross of Calvary. And then he looked down and the people had rejected him. They just had superficial religion. And seemed like the day he's looking across our country. He's looking across our world. He's looking across our churches. And maybe he's looking into this service here this hour. And he's saying there's superficial religion. And maybe he's even weeping today over here today at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. He's searching your heart. He knows every heart in here. It's laid open and bare before him, and he knows it, the joy. But yet, you know, he was a joy, but also he was a man of tears. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. You know, that was a tears of sympathy. Many times, you know, that I've seen the tears of sympathy. Many funerals that I've had attended, and I've seen the tears as it rolled down the cheeks of many person. Sometimes they keep back the tears that fall from their eyes because, you know, the sympathy they have for the loved ones, their friends and their neighbors has passed on. Well, you see, he was a man of sympathy when they shed the tears at Lazarus' tomb. And we also should be people of sympathy when someone passes away. And thank you for this past week that the people really turned out for the sympathy. But also we know that Jesus Christ wept again at the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to that cross. He wept that time because of the agony. There's sometimes, you know, that we need to weep because of the agony that Jesus Christ was going to go through. But here we find in these scriptures, he wept on this Mount of Olives because the tears of urgency. Here's the tears that we need to understand this morning. Whenever Jesus looked down upon that great temple and the people and what he was fixing to do for them, and he wept because it was a time of urgency. I tell you today, we are living in a time of urgency. We certainly ought to be having tears of urgency. And it said in these verses of scriptures in verse 41, and wept over it. Sometimes in the word of scriptures, it tells us in the Greek language, it may be a time whenever maybe the tears, maybe a silent tear rolls down your cheeks. Maybe like I said at the funeral there, it just kind of a silent tear becomes to build up in your eyes that I saw in so many people. But here is another word here in these verses of scriptures, and it means it cried out with a loud voice. He cried with a loud voice, not just the tears of sorrow, tears of sympathy, or the tears of agony, but the tears of urgency. What broke his heart more than anything else was the urgency that the people had rejected him and the people had their superficial religion. What is Jesus Christ seeing today across our land and our churches and people and Christians today? Superficial religion. As followers, we need to share the tears of sympathy, the death of loved ones and friends that we have in our community, the tears of agony when we pray like we did a while ago, the prayer of intercessional prayers that we had. There should have been some tears today, but we need to share and shed some tears of urgency because the day in which we live today is urgent. I'm going to tell you, the day we live in, we're coming closer every day to the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ back. The end time is right here upon us. And Wednesday night, if you'd have been here, I touched a little bit on end time on some numbers. I have some more end time scriptures that God has given me. The end time is here. The last call is coming close. Jesus Christ is coming back. Everything tells us, he shows us that he's on his way. He's coming back for us today. We ought to know and understand the end times. Thank you, Lord, that he gives us instruction of what to do. The end times is coming on us today, the day in which we're living closer and closer to the coming. What caused Jesus Christ to weep ought to cause us to weep also. It ought to cause me to weep. It ought to cause you to weep because of the tears and the title of what made him weep. Jesus Christ wept because of their superficial religion that they had. Verse 37 and 38, when he had come, he fixed to go to the olive, that Mount of Olive, and he saw and he heard all the voices, and they said, "Praise him. Blessed be the King in the highest." He heard them say all this. If you would have been there at that time with Jesus Christ in the pages of this, you would find out what a revival they have with Jesus Christ. Praise him and praise him. What a great revival time they have in Jerusalem. But yet it was superficial religion. It made my mind go back when we had 9/11 in this country, the trade buildings, and all those thousands of people got killed. And then across America, God bless America, God bless America, and God bless America. But yet that was superficial religion, because how long did it last? They so quick to forget what Jesus Christ has done. Superficial religion, whenever we pray for the people, and you know, in the hospital, and God reached down and touched them in a very special way, in death and funerals and sickness and everything, that God reaches down and touched them, and let him, his presence be known unto them, and yet they won't even show up at church. Superficial religion is what people have today. Oh, I know the Lord. Yes, I know Jesus Christ. I know the Lord. I'm going to heaven. All these people was praising the Savior at that time. But there was superficial religion. So much of it we have today. Superficial religion today. He cried and he wept. They wept superficial. You see, hail him, hail him. And the same crowd a week later said, nail him, nail him. Superficial. Jesus stopped. He looked down upon that temple. The sun must have been glittering off of that temple. It was so beautiful, magnificent temple, Mount Moriah. As I said, the only place that God meet with mankind. And there he wept, knowing, because it was just a superficial lift. What did Jesus Christ look down upon this country today? And we claim there's so many Christians today, but it's superficial religion today across our country. And we wonder why that we're in the shape that we're in. What's happening to our family? What's happening today? Superficial religion, the same as they had the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 45 and 46, he said, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein, them and brought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Superficial religion. This was a Passover week. Jesus Christ was a Passover lamb, and they didn't even know it. They should have, but they didn't even know it. They did not recognize him. And I'll tell you, across our America today, in many churches, people do not recognize Jesus Christ. The service is not geared for Jesus Christ. They're geared for the comfort of the people. Don't say anything that hurts someone's feelings. Don't tell them the truth, but tell them what they want to hear, or they won't be back. It's not geared for the cross of Calvary and the blood that we shed. Let mankind know that all is sin and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that's not people what people want to hear today. Nail him. They didn't recognize him. Boy, I'm going to tell you, they went through this religious ceremony, as we're doing through religious ceremony on all churches today, probably. It names the name of Jesus Christ, a religious ceremony, but absolutely missed the meaning of the cross of Calvary. It caused Jesus Christ to weep. It caused him to weep, the ceremonies today. Matthew 7 and 22 says, many will say in me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus Christ was saying to them, as many people do today, oh, I know I'm going to heaven. I know this and I know that. They don't even know Jesus. They know about him, but they don't know him. Superficial religion. Jesus called their false praying. They said, Lord, Lord. Did you know people can't pray unless they are saved? You can't pray unless you have Jesus, because there's no way for you to reach a holy God in your sinful condition. Your prayers have to come through Jesus Christ. There's no way to reach. That's what he did on Calvary's cross. There's no way mankind could reach a holy God without Jesus Christ. That's the reason he sent his son. A holy God could not look it down a sinful man. So he sent his son to bridge that gap, that he would reach out with one hand and get God by one hand, and oh sinner me with the other hand, and bring us together in Christ Jesus. Oh, you might utter some words, but prayer got to come through Jesus. Prayer starts from heaven, it hits the earth, and goes back to heaven. But it's through the name of Jesus Christ. He called their false praying, Lord, Lord, false praying. But then you see there was false preaching. Have we not prophesied in thy name? False preaching, we have that all over the television today and across a lot of churches today and a lot of in our Baptist churches today. Then he says, false power. Have we not cast out demons? False power. They have not done that. False performance. We've done many wonderful works. That's false performance. Superficial religion. Matthew 7 and 23, the next verse said, I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. He says all those false things that I just said that Jesus said to them are false and they are iniquity. Superficial religion today is what we have. United States, we have religion, but we need a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a great difference. Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem. Help us, God, to weep over our families. Help us, God, to weep over our families, our city, and our nation. We're in a great mission field right here around us. We don't have to go to a foreign land to a mission field. We have mission fields in our homes, our families, our community, right where we live today. A great mission field. It's time for tears of urgency because that day is coming. That day is coming, and I don't want to get into the end times, but we know that the rapture, God's going to call his people out of this world. And when he does, you may be one that's sitting here right now, and the Lord of grace has opened up the heart of opportunity here this morning for you to be saved. The Spirit of God has been working with you, and you know that you need to be saved, and yet you say no to the Savior. If the rapture would come this day when you leave this church, you would not ever be able to be saved according to the Scriptures. You have turned down that day of visitation. Jesus wept because of their passing opportunities in verse 41 and 42. And when he was come near, beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou had known, talking to us, even thou, at least in this day, this is your day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from their eyes. They're hidden from their eyes. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, it tells us the prophecy, exact date. When Daniel wrote the prophecy, the exact date that Jesus Christ, the day that he was going to walk into Jerusalem, it was the very same day. The Bible told them that it was going to come true, and they ought to know it. This thy day, who are you today? This is your day, but it's hidden from their eyes because they rejected it. As many a people today is rejecting Jesus Christ. They, as United States now, they was blinded to the blessing. And they was deaf to the danger. And today, exactly where we at in our country, we are blinded to the blessings of God, but we are deaf to the danger that's coming upon not just this nation, but upon individuals who have rejected Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 8 and 20 tells us, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. There's just a certain time for the harvest time. We're living in a rural area. We're living in a farming area. And this is the time of the year that you see the tractors in the field. It's time to harvest the corn, time to harvest the soybeans, time to harvest the peanuts, time to harvest everything that's grown through the summer. This is harvest time. But this harvest time, as the farmers know, won't always last. They get it just as quick as they can because they don't know. This is harvest time. And harvest time will not last. Jeremiah warned them that judgment is coming, that judgment is coming. And then there's a verse of Scripture, Jeremiah 8 and 20, He warned the people of the nation of Israel that judgment is coming. No, they said, it can't be coming. We're a nation of Israel. We are God's elect. We are God's chosen. How could God let the enemy come against his own people? How could he do this? Boy, the times of the nation Israel was real good. I mean, the Dow Jones was up and everybody was having a good time. Money and prestige was everywhere around them. This couldn't happen to Israel. No, God wouldn't let this to happen. The same thing to the United States of America. We think that can't happen to us. We think it can't happen to us. But I'll tell you, it's happening to us right now. We got blinded eyes and we don't know the danger that's happening to us right now. What happened to the nation of Israel in Jeremiah's day? He was prophesying what was going to happen. The Babylonian Empire was already getting ready to surround Jerusalem. He was surrounding Jerusalem. And see, it was harvest time. Whenever they surrounded that city and cut them off from the fields, they couldn't go out and harvest. They couldn't bring in the harvest time of the fields. And they surrounded that city right before they could gather in to harvest. And it says that starvation set in of the nation of Israel, and they got so hungry. They got so hungry that mothers killed their children. It said they did boil and they did eat. Jeremiah warned them about the time of harvest. It's going to pass, and then judgment's going to come. Oh, you tell me they really kill their own child? The millions are being killed by mothers in America today. You say it won't happen? God will forgive anybody for anything. And he will forgive that mother. But we are allowing it to happen in our country. Every time that we vote for any politician as far as abortion, you're voting to kill a child. I'm sorry. I don't care what side they're on. If they're for abortion, they're against God. And any time, no matter what party they're from, if you vote for that person that's for abortion, you're voting to kill an unborn baby. I don't want to get into that, but I'm going to tell you. They think, well, we don't want to have this child. Well, you're going to have the child. It's just a matter of if it's going to be a dead child or a live child. It's abortion. They did kill and they did eat. Harvest time was past. The opportunity, the judgment is coming. Noah, for 120 years, took a hammer and he beat upon that ark. For 120 years, a judgment is coming. It's going to rain. The judgment is coming. And the people laughed at him till Methuselah died. And when he did, raindrops began to fall. Never rained upon the face of earth, according to the Bible. The Lord watered earth by a mist. Never rained before. Oh, crazy Noah, for 120 years, and they laughed at him, and they laughed at him, and they laughed at him, until the water came. The harvest time was past for them in Noah's days. This generation has more opportunities, more ability, preaching the word, more tools, but the harvest is passing by. Mother and fathers with little children have time to carry them everywhere and do everything for them, but bring them to the house of God. Is that not a shame? Call themselves Christians, that superficial religion. Child is growing up, and yet they will not bring them to the house of God. The Holy Spirit reaches that heart, but one day that child will grow up, and they're going to say, what in the world were the tears? Then they will shed tears. What happened to my child? Because you see, you might bring them up to know right from wrong, but you know what Christ gives them? Listen to me. It gives them the power to do right
and the power to keep from doing wrong. You grow, you bring it. I have taught them better. They know better. Yes, you have. But you have not brought them to the house of God and have not set example, mothers and fathers and grandparents across this land, to show them the importance of Jesus Christ and a local church that God set up on the face of this earth. To give them the power to do what they need to do. They know, but they need the power. And that comes from Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They know. There'll be tears. You see, fathers and mothers and grandparents, you're setting an example. And they're looking at your life. They know. I marvel at the patience of God with the United States of America. How long is he going to let this keep going? How long is he going to let this keep going? The harvest is past for the youth. And Ecclesiastes 12:1, and it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember when you're young. Most people get saved when they're young. Majority of Christians get saved when they're young. We need to do everything we can to reach the youth, everything we can to reach our young people. But we don't need to change the word. The word. Across our country, churches are trying everything. They're leaving the word of God. And they got some new names for it now. But I tell you, it's the same old thing. Don't get away from the message. How do young people get saved? The same way old people get saved, by Jesus Christ, the pulling and wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. Think with us this day what God's doing for us. The harvest is past for the young people. Conviction is past. As I said a while ago, these verses of Scripture, John 6:4 says, no man can come to me except the Father which have sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days. No man. You don't decide next Sunday to come back to church and get saved. If you're here today and you walk out across the blood or over the blood of Jesus Christ, don't think you come back next week or next month and say, well, I'll get saved. I'll clean up my life and I'll get saved. No, God says come just as you are. And you may not get another opportunity because you don't decide to get saved. It's the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God that draws you. Also, it says in Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. It will always be with you, striving and bringing you. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It's today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week. The Lord says now. Today is the day. See, the Holy Spirit conviction will pass. It will pass whenever sometimes the people say, well, I can just feel the Spirit of God pulling me and pulling me. You see, the more that you reject that Spirit, you know, your calloused hands, you get out there and work hard, you have calloused on your hands. Well, that's where your heart is. It gets more calloused every time that you say no. Every time that you reject Jesus Christ and you say no, that's one more calloused. One more time. The Holy Spirit is a passing. Life is passing very quickly. Time is passing. You know, Satan's working and all of his demons. They got together in the meeting of Satan and his demons, and they want to damn as many people as they could to hell. So one demon says, what are we going to do? I got an idea. Let's tell everybody there's no God. Another demon says, no, that's too obvious. There is a God, and he's a just God, and he's a holy God. We can't tell them there's no God. People knows better. Well, let's just say that he will not receive them. No, he said, that won't work. Neither one of the demons said, because he's a merciful God, that won't work. Well, let's just tell them that they got plenty of time. They just got plenty of opportunities, and they got plenty of time. Youth today, young people you hear, if you never accepted Jesus Christ, you think you got a long time? There's different lengths of strings, and there are different lengths of life. You don't know how much time you have. If you're here today and you are lost and don't know Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation because you're here. You see, God worked it for you to be here this morning. You think you just come in, no matter what reason you thought you was coming for, the sovereignty of God made sure that you was here today for a reason. This is your opportunity. Now, I'll tell you, if you don't accept Jesus Christ one of these days, it'll be too late. Now, I don't know who's saved, who's lost. I don't know, but I know what God sent me to tell you here this day, and he knows who here, and I don't, and know the hearts of the people, and I don't know. Tell them they got plenty of time. But you see what caused Jesus Christ to weep? Because of their smoldering judgment is ahead. He saw Jerusalem and what was fixing to happen. And it caused him to weep. In 43 and 44, "For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemy shall cast a trench about and pass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even the ground and thy children therein. And they shall not leave in thee one stone," talking about the temple, "upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation." You see, you thought you was coming for different reasons this morning, didn't you? But you see, God's visiting you this morning. This is a time of your visitation. And Jesus Christ, he looked down upon Jerusalem at that time, only 35 years from time of Palm Sunday, the 35 years from that time that he looked down upon that. Oh, Titus, the Roman emperor, came against Jerusalem. And that beautiful temple. Now, see, the Romans did not destroy temples. They kept temples and they preserved temples. It was not supposed to destroy the temple, but some way or another, God's word spoke, and maybe it was a fiery arrow or somebody accidentally shot, but God had a target. That temple caught on fire, and all the timbers, you read about this, and it burnt that great temple. There was so much gold in that temple that it melted and went down upon the stones and the cracks, and you see, the plunderers came, and they took a way to tear up every stone to get the gold out. They didn't leave one stone standing upon another. And his story tells us that's exactly what happened, as Jesus Christ said that it would. Not one stone. What caused him to weep? What caused him to weep? I tell you, we ought to be weeping now for our nation today. We ought to be weeping for our country and our family. Proverbs 29:1 tells us, "He that being often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Time for tears over lost souls. Where's all your family members today? Are they in security of the word of God and under the blood? Where's all the families today? How about on Wednesday night, fathers and mothers? You're the example of the family. What are you doing on Wednesday night? Don't tell me everybody has to work late. What are you doing to show your family the security that they need in Christ Jesus? Psalm 126:6 tells us, "He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Family needs to weep over loved ones. You know, it's a time of weeping today. As I said, the Christian life is a life of joy. But also, it says there's a time of weeping. Weep for our sick folks. Weep for the lost. Weep for our nation. Oh, Paul did that in Acts chapter 20:31 says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with what tears," he said, "the tears." You see, the founder of the Salvation Army, General William Booth, was a great, great soul-winning army. And you know, you're members of the Salvation Army too, if you're saved here today. But there was really a Salvation Army, and still today, as we see it around Christmas times, a lot of them winning souls. But they was having a great meeting, and because people weren't being saved like they should be saved. And I should say today, we ought to be weeping because of our Salvation Army. People are not being saved like they should be saved. What's happening to us today? And yet they had a great meeting, and General Booth was not with them because of sickness, could not be there. They sent him a wire and say, "General Booth, just send us some word. What to do? Just send us a word." So he sent them back a wire. And there was two words on that wire. He said, "Try weeping." Try weeping. Family members, your family is in uproar. They're not serving Jesus Christ. Probably not even saved. You know what you need to do? You need to weep. I need to weep. There's plenty that I need to weep over. Pleasant Hill, may God forgive a dry-eyed mother and father. Family members are not weeping over their loved one, because when they reach that age of accountability, and I don't know where that is, no man does, but they know when a child reaches that age that they're rebelling against God, they need to be saved. Regardless of what age it is, they need to be saved. And if they say no, and they're not here where they can hear the Word of God and receive Jesus Christ. You see, once in a while you hear of a child dying. Once in a while you hear of a car wreck and the whole family dying. Wouldn't it be sad going down the highway and the mother and father saved, and that child has already reached the age of accountability and they have not brought that child to church? I'm going to tell you, church don't save you. I'm not talking about that. But I tell you, if I get hungry for a loaf of bread, I'm going down to where to sell bread. I'm one beggar telling another beggar where to come get bread. If something happens, that child or that grandchild, I'll let you answer that question for yourself. And that child is lost and don't know Jesus Christ. And all of those wiped out in that wreck. Would it be a sad thing to know that mama and daddy went to a place that's called heaven, and because of their superficial religion, did not see the emergency to bring that child where they could hear the Word of God? Without it, they cannot be saved. Always the Word of God today. May God bless us. God forgive us, this church, and for me especially, of a dry-eyed church in a hell-bound world, and family members and loved ones. Because one of these days, they may call the undertaker. And when they do, the funeral will be set up. And the funeral, the casket will be closed. And they'll be throwing dirt on that casket. Then it'll be too late. Only tears of sorrow. We need the tears a day of urgency for our family. It's closer, much closer in this country than we realize. May God send a message to our heart today of the urgency that people need to be saved. And we need to have the tears of Jesus. What made Jesus weep should also make each and every one of us weep. At this time, we come to a close. And I'd like for us to bow again in prayer. Father Jesus, oh, Father, we could just see you very clear this hour. Father, as you looked down over Jerusalem and you wept, it said that you cried out loud because you saw the destruction that was coming. Father, you have given us a very clear picture in your Word of God that, Father, destruction is coming to our country. Destruction is coming to a family that won't recognize Jesus Christ. And destruction is coming to that soul that won't give that soul to the Lord for safekeeping. If we could just realize the urgency that's really happening before our very eyes. Father, if there's someone here today, for some reason or another, didn't know why they was coming. But Father, if there's a person here and you want to be saved today, you can be. All you would have to do is realize that you're lost. You say, Jesus Christ, I want to repent of my sin. Pray this prayer with me if you hear this hour. Jesus, I want to repent of my sin. I want to make an about face. I want you to forgive me of my sin. You said you had all power in heaven and earth. I want you to forgive me of my sin. I want you to come into my heart and I want you to save me. Jesus Christ said, I will. Whosoever shall come to me, I will not cast out. Father, thank you now. Praise you for what you're doing right here in this service. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, if you have prayed this